बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
24 ट्रांसलेशन। We are representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creator of the whole universe, who carries in his hand the bow named Sharanga. We have been specifically deputed to take you to the spiritual world, they said. Now we are coming to the 25th verse.
Sudurjayam Vishnu Padam Jitam Tvaya Yat Surayo Prapya Vichakshate Param आतिष्ठ तच्चंद्र दिवाकरादयो ग्रहक्षतारा परियन्ति दक्षिणम्।
टू अचीव विष्णु लोका इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट बट बाय योर ऑस्टेरिटी यू हैव कॉन्कर्ड इवन द ग्रेट ऋषिज एंड डेमिगॉड्स कैनॉट अचीव दिस पोजिशन सिंपली टू सी द सुप्रीम अबोड द विष्णु प्लैनेट The sun and moon and all the other planets, stars, lunar mansions and solar systems are circumambulating it. Now please come. You are welcome to go there.
Yeah. So in that purport, four lines from bottom. While the scientist and philosopher go to the moon
but are disappointed in their attempts to stay there and live. The devotee makes an easy journey to the other planets and ultimately goes back to Godhead. Devotees have no interest in seeing other planets, but while going back to Godhead, they see all of them as passing faces, just as one who is going to a distant place passes through many small stations.
Yeah. So you all studied Krama Mukti, correct? No? So there are two types of yogis, correct? No? Who are the two types of yogis? Names?
Attached and detached yogis.
So, what is the path detached yogis take? They directly meditate on Paramatma. The other attached yogis, they go through. So, there are many stations they go through. One after another, correct, no? So, then they get... why they are taken through? Because in case they have attachment, they want to put a halt somewhere, hold, then they may stay there, correct, no? But in case they go through all of that and not choose anything, for example, say you are going from ground floor to 20th floor, you know that in the 10th floor or 12th floor, there is some special feast going on, you know, some devotees have gone there, then you may put a break there, you may go there, correct, no? You may want to go there. See, there is a katha going on by some Maharaj in 20th floor. There is a feast going on for brahmacharis in 10th floor of Barsana. Correct? What are you likely to do? When the lift is going up, you know, all brahmacharis say, Prabhuji, put floor number 20, they say. Of course, I think only 12 they have, I think. Okay. So, in case they have 20 floors, one devotee says, Prabhuji, you all go to 20, but I want to go to 10. Correct, no? So, in the same manner, the different, like one brahmachari was telling, before I enter Goloka, on the way I want to just halt shortly to Gandharva Loka, you know. Yes, I just want to see what all instruments they use, how they sing. One light music I'll hear there and then I'll proceed. So we may have our taste like that, isn't it? Therefore, Prabhupada is saying, read the theme.
Devotees have no interest in seeing other planets.
They are already, actually here itself we have to see, while living in this material world, what are our tastes? The quality of our taste. People eat pani puri in the side of the road. You know, they have such kind of taste. Similar, there are eating tastes, there are recreation tastes, there are music tastes, then there are culture taste, particular subject taste. So we have different type of tastes. Some people like Sattvic culture, some people like Rajasic culture. Like once I had gone to this Le Meridian hotel, Shreddi Prabhu or somebody had taken me. So he told that some Lions Club presidents are having some gathering, you know, some 200-300 presidents coming together once in a year, they have some program. All Maharashtra, I think, they're coming. So the program was going on, they told us to wait outside. They told you wait, we will call you in, you know. So we were waiting down, at the time I got to see, you know, so many boys, girls coming, drinking, smoking, all, you know, colored, dim lights, laughter, and music. So, lot of passionate environment there. And one thing common I could see, everybody is trying to impress one another. That was very, very clear. Whether it be boys or girls or their parents or whoever they be, people are coming and trying to show off to one another, impress one another. So we were sitting for about 15-20 minutes after that we went for our presentation. So I could clearly see that, you know, we were like a fish out of water there. Because we are sadhus, devotees, Harikshna, Dhoti Kurta, we are sitting there. So we were not fitting in that environment well. Because different type of people were coming there. It was like a permit room or a beer bar. Only it's in a decent manner, it looks. So, even Prabhupada said, devotees who used to go and do Govindamadi Purusham in some hotels, Prabhupada later on stopped them. He said, they are no good places to go. Of course, we didn't go for any performance there, only a presentation had to be given. But what I'm saying is, that is the type of taste they have, correct, no? Everyone has a certain rajasic taste, tamasic taste, similar eating taste, culture taste, habits. So, one according to one's taste, when you are going through the heavenly planets, if you have some leaning towards piety, with some mixed desire for serving the Lord also and enjoying something also, correct? And then we may halt. Therefore, he is saying that when Jayananda Prabhu left the world, devotees asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, where did Jayananda go? Prabhupada said, mostly heavenly planet. Very coolly Prabhupada said. Devotees were shocked. Huh? What? Heavenly planet, Prabhupada? But Jayananda Prabhu was a pure soul and he did such nice devotion service. And Prabhupada said, in case he has transcended material desires, he would have gone back to Godhead. But in case he had some material desires at the time of leaving the body, then Prabhupada quoted that verse, Prapya Punya Kritam Lokan Ushitva Shashwati Sama Suchinam Srimadam Gehe Yoga Brishto Vijayate. And this is a person who slips out of Krishna consciousness in the early stage. The next verse talks about somebody who has done 90% Krishna consciousness. Atava Yoginam Eva Kuler Bhavati Dhimatam. They are like acharyas, like Bhaksan Sarasi Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, born in high class Vaishnava families, because such yogis, they might have done 90-95% in their previous life. Of course, Prabhupada is a Nitya Siddha, but he gives his own example in that purport to say that they may come again. So, but then born in a devotee family, as Prabhupada said. So, in this way, Prabhupada once made a statement that many of the devotees in ISKCON may land up in heavenly planets, once he said like that. And the reason is, they are doing devotional service, but they have still material desires. So, we call it as a pious entertainment. Pious entertainment. You know what is pious entertainment? That means, you know, people are still fun-loving and they want to enjoy the benefits of ISKCON without purifying the heart. Somebody thinks if I just go to Mayapur or Vrindavan and hang around in the, what do you call that kirtan? What mela? What mela? Hang around in kirtan mela, eat out in Govindas, hang around with some devotees, Haribol, and you will go back to Godhead. One has to know that one has to purify the heart. Like the qualifications of one who can return back to Godhead are given now. It's going to come now, shortly. He's saying, Sudurjayam Vishnu Padam. See, in this verse he says, first line. What is that? Sudurjayam means? Jaya means victory. Sudurjayam means? No. Jaya means victory. Durjaya means very difficult to win. Sudurjaya means very, very difficult. Vishnu Padam. Jitam Tvaya. You have won it. He is saying. So in the previous verses we saw how Dhruva Maharaj took Vanaprastha, retired from worldly activities, absorbed his chitta in Lord's Vigraha form, deity form. And he, one point of devotion, Ananya Bhakti, he practiced. One thing we all can have a self-test for ourselves, simply based on our tastes. You can say, what is my taste? What type of food I like to taste? What type of engagement my mind likes? Do I like to worship the Lord? Do I like to chant the holy name? Do I like to read the spiritual literatures? Do I like to peacefully sit and discuss Krishna Katha with devotees? What are my tastes? Sometimes we may do something because we are told to do, or we are supposed to do, or it's our duty to do. But given freedom, say for example, next 1 week you are free, Prabhu, do what you wish. So what we may choose to do, that will give us some clue on you know, what type of taste we have. Certainly those who are entering spiritual world, they have to have a spiritual taste. Very strong spiritual taste has to be there. Spiritual life cannot be a side business, it has to be a main business for them. So therefore they are not interested in even Brahma Loka also. They are not interested in any other glowing loka, whether it is Gandharva Loka, Siddha Loka or Brahma Loka. Because Siddha Loka, if you go, you can get Siddhis. Correct, no? So somebody may be interested in Siddhis, somebody may be interested in becoming like a Gandharva. Gandharvas have a handsome body also, and they sing sweetly also. And they play different instruments also. And if Mataji, while going back, may think, oh, Apsaras have a beautiful body. If I wish I could have a body like them. Apsaras have a beautiful body. They can sing, they can dance, and that is greatly appreciated. So somebody may desire, this is my one last desire. If I can just fulfill it, then I can go back to Godhead. And they may get stuck also. Correct, no? Therefore, Prabhupada is saying, devotees have no interest in seeing other planets. Like that Prabhupada writes in the purport. They don't even want to turn and watch the other planets. They just ignore it. And in the sadhaka stage, you will find there are many devotees, when they receive so many messages in Facebook and WhatsApp and all, there are many useless messages also they get. Correct, no? But still they don't quit Facebook or WhatsApp. Why? Because they think some things are little interesting for me also. Correct, no? So we will see that we have certain lower tastes also. And when those lower tastes are matched by somebody who is sending us something, then we feel some juice there also. Correct, no? So just like you will find pig gets a certain type of smell, immediately it gets ready, prepared to eat that. Similarly, our mind also, when there are some impure vasanas available, and the mind wants to take advantage. Or advantage of the impure vasanas, which is a clue that we are not yet pure. Because when one has become pure, purified, the impure vasanas, when they are available, one will feel one will feel resistance. So if resistance has not come, still we have those lower tastes. So therefore, we have to keep practicing and purifying and hoping that we come to a stage of spiritual taste. Because spiritual taste is one sure shot test for oneself. Where is, we say now, you are where your mind is. That's the saying. You are? Yeah. Where is my mind all day, morning to night? What is my mind thinking about? What is it endeavoring for? So that only every one of us know. Our own mental state, that we have to ask. So that was 25. Read 26, 27, keep on reading the translation.
Dear King Dhruva, neither your forefathers nor anyone else before you ever achieved such a transcendental planet. The planet known as Vishnu Loka, where Lord Vishnu personally resides, is the highest of all. It is worshipable by the inhabitants of all other planets within the universe. Please come with us and live there eternally.
After 10-12 lines, Prabhupada is saying, Vishnu Loka is especially meant for devotees, not for karmis, jnanis or yogis. Great rishis and demigods can hardly approach Brahma Loka. But even that is not a permanent residence, Prabhupada says. So, go ahead, next one, 27.
O immortal one, this unique airplane has been sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by selected prayers and who is the chief of all the living entities. You are quite worthy to board such a plane.
Yeah, purport, important purport.
According to astronomical calculation, along with the pole star, there is another star which is called Shishumara, where Lord Vishnu, who is in charge of the maintenance of this material world, resides. Shishumara or Dhruva Loka...
See, you noted this point? Some people ask whether Lord Vishnu resides in Dhruva Loka. Is he residing there? So Prabhupada is answering that question here. Along with the pole star, there is another star. You will see in the morning, if you see, the pole star is unblinking star. And next to the pole star, almost very close to it, there is a little which is little dim. It is not as bright as a pole star, it is little dim. So that is Shishumara planet. That is the planet where Vishnu resides. Which means a pole star is like a neighbor to that Shishumara planet. Yes. Go ahead. It's like Brahmacharya Ashram and Temple Hall. Like that, yeah. Yes? Yeah.
Shishumara or Dhruvaloka can never be reached by anyone but the Vaishnavas, as will be described by the following shlokas. The associates of Lord Vishnu brought the special airplane for Dhruva Maharaj and then informed him that Lord Vishnu had especially sent this airplane. The Vaikuntha airplane does not move by mechanical arrangement. There are three processes for moving in outer space. One of the processes is known to the modern scientist. It is called Ka Pota Vayu. Ka means outer space and Pota means ship. There is a second process also called Kapota Vayu. Kapota means pigeon. One can train pigeons to carry one into outer space. The third process is very subtle. It is called Akasha Patana. This Akasha Patana system is also material. Just as mind can fly anywhere one likes without mechanical arrangement, so the Akasha Patana airplane can fly at the speed of mind. Beyond this Akasha Patana system is the Vaikuntha process, which is completely spiritual. The airplane sent by Lord Vishnu to carry Dhruva Maharaj to Shishumara was a completely spiritual transcendental airplane. Material scientists can neither see such vehicles nor imagine how they fly in the air. The material scientist has no information about the spiritual sky, although it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, Parastasmat tu bhavo anyaha.
Yeah. Here Prabhupada is telling the difference between material plane and spiritual plane. And there are three material methods he has explained here. And the spiritual process is totally different. Elsewhere, in another purport, Prabhupada says, and the material planes are run by petrol. When petrol is over, they come down. Isn't it? The spiritual plane is not run by petrol. Another difference he says is the material plane sometimes crashes. And there is a plane crash. And there is no hope of anyone's life saved. In that, everything will get scattered in the space. So, you can't even count the bones of the person also, when there is a plane crash. So, and on the other hand, the Vaikuntha airplane, there is no question of crash, he says. And the material airplane flies by the principle of, lift and drag and, propeller mechanism. Whereas the Vaikuntha airplane is flying based on the spiritual strength of Lord Vishnu. It is actually the plane of Lord Vishnu himself, which he has gifted to his devotees. So it is not run by any mechanical arrangement. Actually, therefore, we have to understand, this is very easy for us to understand, provided we understand the principle of desire. For example, a yogi can mentally travel pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo, we say, no? He can travel with the speed of mind. So, one can travel at the speed of a mechanical plane, or one can travel at the speed of wind, or one can travel at the speed of mind, or one can travel even beyond the speed of mind on a spiritual plane, which is this Vaikuntha plane. So, in this way, there are different platforms, grass and subtle, but this is not even subtle, this is spiritual. So, once a person sits there, the Vaikuntha airplane is able to return back to Godhead in an unrestricted way. Which means even if two spiritual planes come like this, they may go like this and they may never crash. Correct? Now? Because the principle is, basis of principle is what? Spiritual. Correct? Now? There is no, what do you call it? It's not like the material plane. Correct? Yeah. So, then go to the next one, 28, 29. Maitreya is saying, yeah. Nisham Maitreya Uvacha. So, now the following verses are very important for sadhana bhaktas. Because when sadhana bhakta is becoming eligible to go back to Godhead, what all qualifications he requires? One. So many verses are going to speak about it now. Nishamya vaikuntha niyoja mukhyayor madhuchyutam vachamurukrama priyaha kritabhisheka kritanit Mangalo Munin Pranamya Shishama Bhyavadayat
The great sage Maitreya continued, Maharaj Dhruva was very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When he heard the sweet speeches of the Lord's chief associates in the Vaikuntha planet, he immediately took his sacred bath, dressed himself with suitable ornaments, and performed his daily spiritual duties. Thereafter, he offered his respectful obeisances to the great sages present there and accepted their blessings.
Yeah. See, second line says, Madhuchitam Vacham Urkrama Priyaha. He's saying, so the speech of the Nanda Sunanda who had arrived, it was how? As if it was dripping with honey. They were speaking very sweetly. So, and Urukrama Priya, Dhruva Maharaj was very dear to Lord. He heard them speak very sweetly and welcoming him into the plane. So, as such in the spiritual world, it is said every word is a song. Correct? So, that speech is like a song, and it is a fact. When very great Vaishnavas glorify the Lord, it is like a poetic, it's like poetry or like a song or glorification. So these two personalities are associating with Vishnu continuously in spiritual world. Now they have come here to pick up Dhruva, to take him back to Godhead. So he found their Madhuchitam Vacham Varkrama Priha, he says. Now Prabhupada is giving emphasis in the purport on how Dhruva Maharaj, even after seeing the Vaikuntha airplane, did not immediately run to occupy it. But he performed his daily duties. Like what all he did? First what he did? He took a bath. He didn't think that anyway Vaikuntha airplane has come, now onwards whether I take bath or not, it's immaterial. I can just gargle my mouth and push off. He didn't think like that. He took his sacred bath and then dressed himself with suitable ornaments, and performed his daily spiritual duties, our daily duties which we do, isn't it? And he also offered respectful obeisances to the brahmanas, sages, and sought their blessings from them before boarding the vehicle. I read the purport.
We should mark how dutiful Dhruva Maharaj was in his devotional service even at that time he left this material world. He was constantly alert in the performance of devotional duties. Every devotee should take his bath early in the morning and decorate his body with tilak.
Yeah.
In Kali Yuga, one can hardly acquire gold or jeweled ornaments, but the 12 tilaka marks on the body are sufficient as auspicious decorations to purify the body. Since Dhruva Maharaj was living at that time at Badrikashrama, there were other great sages there. He did not become puffed up because the airplane sent by Lord Vishnu was awaiting for him. As a humble Vaishnava, he accepted blessings from all the sages before riding on the plane brought by the chief of the Vaikuntha associates.
Yeah. So this is very important. Even at the last point, where even Vaikuntha plane is waiting outside your door, even at that time we can't afford to become proud. Because sometimes when we grow in number of years, in our experience and in our activities, so there may be a tinge of pride can come that, you know, I am flying here, I am flying there, I am very busy, and for the next 3 months I have no time to accommodate your program. You can just check my itinerary, how busy I am. So there is a kind of false pride which can come by proving oneself to be very busy. I am a busy bee. Always. And I am not a lazy man. So we can have pride like that. Or one can have pride that, look at you guys, brahmanas, you are all stuck up here, I am going now. Tata. You know, I am taking off to spiritual world. But you are going to be remaining in the material world. So this is due to unhealthy comparison. Somebody can think that, you know, I am doing something which he cannot do. So none of such thoughts passed through the mind of Dhruva Maharaj. He was not at all proud, even though the Vaikuntha airplane was waiting for him just outside. So, it is very important that when a devotee especially spends more and more years of Krishna consciousness, one has to root out the false pride which may sneak in without our permission also. It's not going to ask you permission and then come. It will come in our activities, in our speech, knowingly, unknowingly. It will pollute our bhakti. Bhakti is like a pure milk. This pride is like a pinch of poison. It just spoils the bhakti. Because Krishna, when Krishna sees that somebody is proud of his own devotion, you know, somebody is considering himself great, then we lose opportunity to fervently call out his holy names, you see. So Dhruva Maharaj, even at the last point, when Vaikuntha Prabhu was waiting just outside only for him, still he did not become proud. So two lessons here. One is, see, I have written the theme. What is the theme?
Alertness in performing devotional duties.
That means devotional duties should never be compromised. Even if Vaikuntha Prabhu is there, still one should do one's duties. Somebody, one Swami was telling in a lecture that, even if Vaikuntha airplane is calling you, they will not call you till the Bhagavatam class is over on that day. So you should complete the 4:30, 9:30 program and then board the plane. You know, isn't it? Not that, you know, now I can throw away the mala, now I am free bird now. You know, now plane has come now. Actually, somebody may think like that, but then, you know, then what is he going to do there after going, you know? There you have to constantly hear the holy name there, 24/7. Isn't it? Yeah. So that was 29, you read this thing? Translation.
Before getting aboard, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the airplane, circumambulated it, and also offered obeisances to the associates of Vishnu. In the meantime, he became as brilliant and illuminating as molten gold. He was thus completely prepared to board the little plane.
Yeah. See, that means he is seeing the plane as worshipable as the Supreme Lord. Because this plane has been sent by the Supreme Lord, it is very worshipable. He is considering it as worshipable. And also the associates of the Supreme Lord are also worshipable. This is a meaning of how Dhruva is respecting the tadiya or the paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord, isn't it? This is very amazing. Like one time I was sitting behind, my spiritual master was sitting in the car. So after he got down from the car, I also got down, the driver was some unknown driver who has been sent by some congregation devotee. And the driver also got down from driver's seat the other side, and Maharaj thanked them. Thank you for bringing me. So one another devotee was telling, you know, even if he doesn't say thank you to driver, you know, it cannot be considered an offense or negligence, because driver is a paid man, ordinary man, whereas Maharaj is a personality who has thousands and lakhs of people following. Being a big man, even if he neglects the driver, it's not considered any big flaw or something. See, you can't imagine if Prime Minister of India is with you and you neglect him because you are busy, that would be considered an offense. But if you neglect a driver, it won't be considered offense. But one observation you can make in this world is, when people become more and more advanced, they become very attentive and sensitive. This can be easily observed. Even to people who are otherwise insignificant in the eyes of the society. So probably nobody would have told thank you to the driver. Even ordinary people also would not have told him thank you. But here a big Maharaj is telling him thank you. Isn't it? So here you find, when the Vaikuntha airplane is descending, Dhruva is thinking, where has this come from? Vaikuntha. And these two associates are who? Vishnu's associates. So he is feeling so much reverence and respect for them. Therefore he is eligible to enter Vaikuntha. If you don't feel reverence and respect for Lord's paraphernalia, like for example, how do we keep the mridangam? How do we keep the kartal? How do we, you know, keep the books, divine, the holy books? How do we accept the charanamrita? Do we drink charanamrita just because it is very tasty, drink some 3-4 glasses? Or we take charanamrita with great attitude, isn't it? How we take darshan of the Lord, you know, and how we take the Lord's paraphernalia, the devotees, you know. So all these things matter while going back to Godhead. Actually, we shouldn't think, I will brush these things aside and I will strike a direct relation with Lord. That is sahajya. Sahajas don't care for tadiya at all. They think they have a direct relation with Krishna. Here you find his alertness, not only in his morning duties, his alertness and sensitivity in dealing with the sages, his alertness in dealing with the associates of Vishnu who have come in the plane, isn't it? So This kind of alertness is observed when one becomes more and more Krishna conscious. The alertness increases more. I saw one place where we had gone, some temple, we had gone to one temple where Maharaj was giving a lecture, I think in South India when I went, I think. So in that corner side, Matajis were all sitting and making garlands. Some Matajis here were cooking. So when we were walking, the Maharaj was saying like this. He was doing like this to everybody. For the garland making Matajis, for the cooking Matajis, for cooking for everybody. And then he went to the stage where he sat and gave the lecture. Of course, I myself decoded what I observed. I understood that he wants to say kind of appreciation or thankfulness to those who are rendering service. Although they may be rendering something which is not often noticeable. Say, somebody was making chandan, thanking them also. So you are all doing Lord service. If you go to Vrindavan, everybody is doing service to Krishna there in Vrindavan, correct, no? Similarly, our ISKCON temples are also non-different from Vrindavan. So he is thankful to everybody. Here you find he is offering obeisances to Nanda Sunanda and obeisances to the plane, and he is circumambulating the plane. You all know Ayudha Puja, you know? Ayudha Puja they do Dashara time, yeah. That time they offer the flowers and chandan kumkum to the Vahan, correct, no? And it is meaningful because when the Vahan is used for Lord's service, then that is also worshipable. Ayudha, paraphernalia. If a car is taking a Swami regularly to do preaching service, then the car becomes worshipable. For that matter, people in every home also worship Ayudha because they are supposed to engage it in Lord's service. Isn't it? Then it becomes sanctified, like iron rod put in fire. Correct, no? Like that. Read the next one.
When Dhruva Maharaj was attempting to get on the transcendental plane...
Oh, sorry, I forgot to... That purport, first pair, I can read the purport.
In the absolute world, the plane, the associates of Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu himself are all spiritual. There is no material contamination. In quality, everything, there is one. As Lord Vishnu is worshipable, so also are his associates, his paraphernalia, his airplane and his abode. For everything of Vishnu's is as good as Lord Vishnu. Dhruva Maharaj knew all this very well as a pure Vaishnava, and he offered his respects to the associate and to the plane before riding it. But in the meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence, and therefore it was illuminating like molten gold. In this way, he also became one with the other paraphernalia of Vishnu Loka.
Yeah, correct. And Mayavadi's oneness is different, Prabhupada will say that. Next para. As Shishumara, Vishnu Loka or Dhruva Loka are completely different from this material world, so a Vishnu temple within this world is also completely different from this material world. As soon as we are in a temple, we should know very well that we are situated differently from the material world. In the temple, Lord Vishnu, his throne, his room, and all other things associated with the temple are transcendental. And the three gunas have no entrance into the temple. Neither Prabhupada says. And then he is saying, that to live in the forest is goodness, to live in the city is passion, to live in a liquor shop is a slaughterhouse is ignorance, and to live in the temple means to live in Vaikuntha, says. Everything in the temple is as worshipable as Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Like that Prabhupada is saying. Yeah. See, there is a story of Ramanujacharya. Once was planned, while going to Melukote, he was actually planning to visit one house of one very rich disciple. So as soon as the Ramanuja's servants, some Vaishnavas, three, four Vaishnavas went to his home and gave the news that Guru Maharaj is thinking of visiting your house, he became so delighted. He ran here and there and started making arrangements. So which day is coming and evening is coming, I'll put up a big program and accommodate him nicely and everything. But in the course of being busy in serving Guru, he ignored the servants who had come to give the news. He didn't even make them sit and feed them some water or prasad. He didn't pay proper attention to them. He sort of neglected them. But he became very busy in remembrance of Guru and service to Guru. So later on, when these disciples went back to Ramanuja and told the news that we have put a word to him, he is very enthusiastic about you. And then Ramanuja asked, how did he take care of you? And they were all looking at one another. They said, I think he was too busy in serving you. He could not pay attention to us. And we were not eager to ask him for a meal. Because he didn't even ask us whether he want a meal. So how can we ask? So we also didn't ask. And Ramanuja immediately understood that he has neglected my servants. So he said, I will not go there. Then he told them, fix up my appointment with another poor Vaishnava in another place. Of course, poor Vaishnava doesn't need any appointment. He is ready, ever ready. All the time. You know, because nobody is going to, he is not such a rich man or a busy man. So when they told, the poor Vaishnava started dancing and singing happily. And Ramanuja went to his house. Later on, the rich Vaishnava came to that house. And he fell at the feet of Guruji and said, what have I done that you didn't come to my house? Please forgive my offenses and everything. So from that pastime, this is what we learn, that in the course of loving the Lord and worshipping the Lord, we cannot become unmindful or careless or negligent of the Lord's associates and the Lord's paraphernalia. Correct, no? Like here you find, he is very carefully treating Nanda Sunanda and also the airplane. The paraphernalia is very attentively paid attention, very carefully. So these are all sensitivities. One time His Holiness Dhanurdhar Maharaj was telling, in Vrindavan, somebody, in the early days when he had come to Vrindavan, one Vaishnava was taking him to some temples. I don't know in which place was it, but in one temple, Maharaj took out some 100 rupee note and he wanted to put it in the arati plate. So there was another devotee with Maharaj and he put 10 rupees or something, 10-20 rupees in the arati plate. He told, Maharaj, I have already put some money, you keep it inside, he said. So the pujari in the temple who was showing the arati lamp, he was very conscious and very sensitive pujari. He told, you see, if a living being, living entity wants to offer some service to Lord, you should never stop it. See, he has already taken out 100 rupee note. He want to put it, offer it to Lord's service. And he said, it's a direct relationship between that living entity and the Lord. And you should not stop it. Because his heart is longing to give. And you are asking him to put it back in the purse. It's not proper. You should not interfere with the living entity's longing to serve the Lord. Like that he said. So Maharaj noticed this. And he took it, he said, oh, what a brilliant point it was. He said, since that day, Maharaj said, I have understood that every living entity longs to serve the Lord in various ways. Therefore, we should learn to respect all living entities, because every living entity has some urge, spiritual urges. Some living entity wants to sing for the Lord, somebody wants to dance for the Lord, somebody wants to preach for the Lord, somebody wants to cook for the Lord, somebody wants to clean for the Lord, somebody wants to do some service to the Lord. So all of them are paraphernalia of the Lord. And they have to be appreciated and respected. And their love in their heart is springing out as service. It's coming out in the form of service. So therefore, when Dhruva Maharaj seems to be very Krishna conscious, because he respected the associates as well as the plane. So that is alertness in performing our duty. Okay, come to 30th verse.
Tadottana padah putro dadarshantakamagatam mrityor murdnipadam datva arurohadbhutam griham.
When Dhruva Maharaj was attempting to get on the transcendental plane, he saw death personified approach him, not caring for death. However, he took advantage of the opportunity to put his feet on the head of death, and thus he got up on the airplane, which was as big as a house.
Purport.
To take the passing away of a devotee and the passing away of a non-devotee as one and the same is completely misleading. While ascending the transcendental plane, Dhruva Maharaj suddenly saw death personified before him. But he was not afraid. Instead of death's giving him trouble, Dhruva Maharaj took advantage of death's presence and put his feet on the head of death. People with a poor fund of knowledge do not know the difference between the death of a devotee and the death of a non-devotee. In this connection, an example can be given.
And Prabhupada says the cat and kitten example and the rat example. Rat is a non-devotee, kitten is a devotee. And Prabhupada elaborates that. So Prabhupada says here below, read that when Dhruva Maharaj boarded the airplane, he took advantage of the arrival of the death personified who came to offer him
obeisances.
That means death didn't come to strike him down as the death does with ordinary living entities. Whereas in Dhruva's case, death came, but the death offered him obeisances, he says. And then he put his feet on the head of death. Then he got up on the unique airplane, which is described here as a big house. So now how do we understand this? A devotee of the Lord, as he advances in spiritual life, sarva upadhi venen muktva. Gradually the designations go away and a devotee can clearly see this body is just like a shirt which I am wearing. It is different from me, altogether different from me. This body has been a small child, now it was a boy, then it is a grown up man, then it's an old man. This body, the covering, bodily covering is just changing. But as the Atma, I am the same person. And I am Lord's devotee. So when the Amritattva principle becomes deeply realized by the devotee casts away the body like, removing your shirt and throwing it, like that. He is unaffected, he is not fearful. The Kala, there is one verse by Gajendra. Yakkaschanesho balinontakoragat prachandavegat abhidavato brisham bhitam prapannam paripati yad bhayat mrityu pradhavatyaranam tamimahi. See, he is saying mrityu pradhavati aranam tamimahi. The mrityu is chasing after everybody, very fastly running to devour everybody. But when one takes shelter of Krishna, one becomes fearless, he says, of the death. So the death is very smooth. In fact, a devotee welcomes death very joyfully, because he knows that when the body is about to die, the devotee has a very bright future awaiting the devotee. Correct, no? Actually, one of the stories of Alexander I heard. Alexander asked the doctor, "Doctor, can give you 1/4 of my property if you can extend my life by 4 more years," he said. Doctor said, "What are you talking, 4 more years? It's too long a period." He said, "Okay, doctor, I can give you half my wealth. Can you extend it at least by 1 year? Then he saw that he's getting choked inside. He was about to die. Then he said, "Doctor, take all my wealth and at least extend a few breaths," he said, "so I can live." Doctor said, "Even that I cannot do," he said. Then he said, "What is the value of all my earning, all my wealth? It is unable to give me even a few more breaths, and I am dying, losing out my breaths. What is the use of all my wealth?" he said. So when people die, they die in disappointment, because people think, "I have to do this, I have to do that. My business is running out of my hands. I don't know, my sons are not very intelligent. How will they take care of business?" So people are living in bodily consciousness, wife, children, family, business, everything. So it's very painful when you strip a person, when you're dragging a person out of that situation. Yamadutas may drag and take in one direction. This will be watching this. Like this, he's watching. Correct, no? Because his eyes are watching, but he's being dragged away. Whereas a devotee of the Lord, even while living, he renounces the world. Like it is said, Ambarish Maharaj, he saw the gold and silver and treasury and elephants and horses and wives and children and family and kingdom, everything as nothing more than a pebble. He just thought of it like ordinary stone lying in there. So he has no attachment only. So when he has to leave the body, will there be any kind of lamentation? See, if some stone is lying outside, are you missing it now? That's how he saw everything. He saw the whole world like a stone, it is mentioned. Will you miss that stone very much? Like that he didn't miss. Therefore, devotees quitting the world is a very smooth quitting. Very easily. In fact, we have heard, how many times you have heard, the goal of life is to go back home? Even a small kid can say in this khan about it. So therefore, when death comes, devotees actually avoid death. In fact, in this khan, many devotees plan in advance only. They think now if somebody gets some disease or something, where they go? Straight go to Mayapur, you know, go to Vrindavan and prepare your consciousness. Everybody knows I have to chant, I have to read, I have to hear, absorb my consciousness. So that I will, remembering the Lord, I will quit the body. And the people develop lot of guts, lot of, we have discussed about whether it is Sridhar Maharaj or some of the lady disciples of Prabhupada, how much confidence with which they left the body. So here also, Prabhupada says here that the death personified did not come to threaten Dhruva, but it came to offer him obeisances. Why? Because like all demigods actually shower flowers when a devotee is leaving the world. Similarly, death also feels that this person has utilized the human form very perfectly. And then he's attained such a perfection that Vaikuntha plane has come to take him. So death is coming to do namaskar. So there were few steps in the Vaikuntha plane to climb. And in one of those steps, the death personified also lied. So on that, death personified head, he put his foot and he climbed up the... So this is also, we can call it as a victory over death. Correct, no? Because he put his foot on, from there only I got the name, victory over death. This is a victory over death. So, in the victory over death, the book, I have given five or six such instances. One of Jatayu, he also attained victory over death. Because although his body died, Lord Rama awarded him Vaikuntha. Correct, no? So he went back to Godhead also like that. Similarly, Ajamila got victory over death also because Yamapash was about to bind him and Yamapash was cut by Vishnudutas when he chanted Narayana. Correct, no? So he also attained victory over death like that. Actually, when we say victory over death, doesn't mean death is coming, I'm going to run. You heard this funny story people say, one man smeared his whole body with stool when Yamadutas came. What he did after that? Prabhupada told the story, yeah. You know the full story? I only heard the first part of it. What is it? One man put a stool all over his body, covered himself so that Yamakingras cannot find him. So what happened after that? They found him or not? Huh? What he did? Yeah? What happened? Yamakingras brought pigs, huh? Oh, really? Pigs must have, you know, bitten him all over the body, isn't it? Correct, yeah. And then once the stool is cleared, they must have taken him back. Huh? Yeah. So this is not the victory over death. Huh? This is failure, failure at the time of death, correct, no? He is fearing death and trying to run away, you see? Yeah. So, yeah.
When Dhruva Maharaj touched the aeroplane, that time he is enlightened and became a spiritual body.
Correct.
So did he left a body or his self-same body got spiritualized and then he boarded the aeroplane?
That is not mentioned here because there is no mention of any antim sanskar for Dhruva here. It's not mentioned. There is, because if body is left, then there is a talk about how the relatives took his body and there is antim sanskar and relatives cried and all that will come. But here we don't hear that. Correct, no? It doesn't come. Similarly, Tukaram also we say he went with his self-same body. But when they are going self-same body, when they are crossing the material region and entering into the Viraja and then going beyond, naturally the body turns into spiritual body. Because in the spiritual world, you need a spiritual body to interact with the Lord and associates. But they all have Sachidananda body there, purely. Read the next one. 31.
At that time, drums and kettle drums resounded from the sky. The chief of Gandharvas began to sing, and other demigods showered flowers like torrents of rain upon Dhruva Maharaj.
Now next one, read the 32 also.
Dhruva was seated in the transcendental airplane, which was just about to start, when he remembered his poor mother Suniti. He thought to himself, how shall I go alone to the Vaikuntha planet and leave behind my poor mother?
Yeah. This is a very amazing thing, isn't it? Therefore, even in the path of spiritual life, the essence of our life is not to just cram shlokas or remember the knowledge, but to have gratitude for what we have received, all our life. Therefore, Dhruva, see, how many years he ruled his kingdom? After 36,000 years, he is still having remembrance that my mother was my Vartma Pradesha Guru and she guided me to the forest. He's remembering. So Prabhupada is saying here, see the fourth line. Okay, you can read the full purport, very important purport.
Dhruva had a feeling of obligation to his mother, Suniti. It was Suniti who had given him the clue which had now enabled him to be personally carried to the Vaikuntha planet by the associates of Lord Vishnu. He now remembered her and wanted to take her with him. Actually, Dhruva Maharaja's mother, Suniti, was his Patha Pradakshak Guru. Patha Pradarshaka Guru means the guru or the spiritual master who shows the way. Such a guru is sometimes called Shiksha Guru. Although Narada Muni was his Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master, Suniti, his mother, was the first who gave him instruction on how to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the duty of the Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru to instruct the disciple in the right way, and it depends on the disciple to execute the process. According to Shastric injunctions, there is no difference between Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru, and generally the Shiksha Guru later on becomes the Diksha Guru. Suniti, however, being a woman and specifically his mother, could not become Dhruva Maharaja's Diksha Guru. Still, he was not less obliged to Suniti. There was no question of carrying Narad Muni to Vaikuntha Loka, but Dhruva Maharaj thought of his mother.
Because Narad Muni is already a Vaikuntha man and is flying here and there preaching. Yeah, next one.
Whatever plan the Supreme Personality of Godhead contemplates immediately fructifies. Similarly, a devotee who is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord can also fulfill his wishes by the grace of the Lord. The Lord fulfills his wishes independently, but a devotee fulfills his wishes simply by being dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj thought of his poor mother, he was assured by the associates of Vishnu that Suniti was also going to Vaikuntha Loka in another plane. Dhruva Maharaj had thought that he was going alone to Vaikuntha Loka, leaving behind his mother, which was not very auspicious because people would criticize him for going alone to Vaikuntha Loka and not carrying with him Suniti, who had given him so much. But Dhruva also considered that he was not personally the Supreme. Therefore, if Krishna fulfilled his desires, only then would it be possible. Krishna could immediately understand his mind, and he told Dhruva that his mother was also going with him. This incident proves that a pure devotee like Dhruva Maharaj can fulfill all his desires by the grace of the Lord. He becomes exactly like the Lord, and thus, whenever he thinks of anything, his wish is immediately fulfilled.
Yeah, that is called Satya Sankalpa. Huh? That means as soon as one desires, immediately it's fulfilled. So there are some very good mothers and good fathers. So among the good mothers, Suniti is one very good mother who guided her son properly. Among the good fathers, Rishabhadev is a good father who gave very good instruction. One who guided. Is there anyone else you can remember in the Shastra who guided son or daughter very powerfully in a spiritual direction? And Hiranyakashipu is a bad father for Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj is a good son, you know, who delivered even a dangerous father, sinful father, correct, no? Yeah? Lakshman's mother, he is saying, Sumitra, yes? Who? Kapila? Guiding his mother. Okay, that is son guiding him. It's a good son. Okay, we can talk about good mother, good father and good son. We have a good daughter. Devahuti is a good daughter of Swayambhava Manu. Very religious daughter, yes? Prabhupada's father, yeah. That is our Gauramohan Dev. Very good father. Then he is saying, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also is a great father.
Yedina grihe bhajana deki grihe te goloka bhai.
He says, you know, when I come in the evening, my home has turned into goloka. My children are playing mridangam, kartal, doing kirtan. In my home, there is a festival in my home, he's saying. So he is a good father also. So we can quote examples like this. So it's a beautiful purport. So this purport, this whole verse and the purport is, topic is on gratitude to those from whom we have received, you know, connection. So some of you might have lived a very normal life and then you got connected to Krishna consciousness. But some people like me, we have been battered from one place to another, to so many mathas, so many swamis, so many different paths, after which at last I landed in ISKCON. So when I look back, I feel greatly saved. So one or two instances come to my mind even now, and it is like a nightmare for me to think. Why? Because in my fifth standard, one boy showed me one Tamil book called Meet Par Yesu. Meet Par means Jesus will deliver you. That's the meaning of the book, Tamil book. So I asked him, "Oh, it seems to be a spiritual book. Can I read and give you?" He said, "No, you can get one." I said, "I am not in the mood to buy anything." I said, "No, it's a free book," he said. Then he said, "Write one postcard, it will come to you." So I wrote one postcard, the address he gave me. Within 1 week, the book came. So I read the book and I sent a letter thanking them. The book was nice. That book was about Jesus and how Jesus has come to take away the sins and all that. So when I sent back, then they gave me 5 addresses. And they told me that in India there are many Bible schools. So the first Bible school I joined was Voice of Prophecy, Pune. It was Pune only. So then that was Voice of Prophecy. You know? So they sent me a 4-page lesson with a question page. You write the answers and write, you send it back. Then you send it back, they will correct and send. See, in case you wrote answer, somebody corrects with red pen and puts marks in 20 out of 20 they would put. And then how many of you feel enthusiastic to write the second test? Correct, no? Somebody is doing that. So 20 lessons in one course. Some courses were 10 lessons. So these 5 colleges, Bible schools, correspondence schools, I joined. They were all sending their courses. 20 lessons course, 15 lessons course, 10 lessons course, like that. Is writing. So from 5th to 10th, almost I must have done more than 45 such courses, specializing on different, Mark, Luke, John, Corinthians, Revelation, different sections of Bible like that. Then one of the Christian brethren became very close to me. So when I finished my polytechnic, he said, "You come, I will put you in one college called Karunya Institute of Technology, Coimbatore." You know, it's a Christian college. He said, "We will not only give you a free seat there, we will give you a scholarship for the 4 years, all 4 years. You don't have to spend a single penny. Free food, free accommodation, and free course. For other people, you are taking 10 lakhs. And for you, it's free. It's a very costly college. Many international students come there." So me and my father are considering whether to go or not. But then, in the meantime, my father saw that I have studied a lot of Bible-related things. He gave me one, Srinivas Acharyulu, which was a commentary of Bhagavad Gita by a Sri Vaishnava Acharya. So when I read that book, in that book for the first time I saw a picture which thrilled me the most. It was exactly looking like a Hare Krishna devotee, shaven head with a shikha. He is sleeping in the night and Lord Vishnu is doing his hand like this, a cone light is coming and falling on the devotee. So Lord Vishnu protects his devotees, even while sleeping also. So like that there are many pictures of devotee with shaven head, shikha and... So somehow or other, when I saw that book and read it, it was fortunately Vaishnava commentary. I was very fascinated. So in that, the heart transforming verses were 12.123, Bhagavad Gita. I had read that. Of course, Christians also say God is a person, God is a father. But I had read, then in the polytechnic days, this was our Ramakrishna's 150th year was happening that year. So we wrote essay. So all India, national competition. So when I won the second prize in India, they sent me 2 big boxes of all their books. All Vivekananda's books, Ramakrishna's books. They said, "You have won the second prize in India, so we have sent you all the books." So I kept all the books in my cupboard and I started reading them. So when I read Vivekananda's books, I was getting chakkar. He is writing Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, all yogas. Only thing is you don't understand anything after that. After reading all of that, you'll get nowhere. I got even more confused than before also. Then somebody told me, "Okay, if you are too confused, read Shivananda, that will be better." Then Shivananda thought Dhyana Yoga, I was reading Dhyana Yoga for some time. Somebody said, "Why don't you try Ramana Maharishi?" The problem is I had a group of 20-25 friends and all these fellows, they have their own movement that they would follow. Aurobindo, Shivananda, our Chinmay Ananda, all Ananda, but I have no Ananda. That was my situation. So we'd come together and our meeting, everybody will throw all speculative philosophy. Everybody, my Lord, now I am trying to find them out, where are these fellows gone now? So it was so horrible. So at last, actually I was a scientist B, provisionally appointed. Junior fellow, research fellow, senior research fellow and scientist B in CCRI, in my native place. My father said, why are you provisional scientist? Become a permanent scientist. Then I asked the seniors, they said, you need a master's degree. And then I wrote GATE, and when I got GATE score and then got an IIT Bombay, my father said, quickly finish in 2 years and come back. So, generally, so I went to Bombay. First day I went to Bombay, I put my luggage in the room, then I wore my South Indian dhoti, and then I asked the friends, is there any temple nearby? They said, there is a Chinmaya Mission behind that. Oh, Chinmaya Mission, I had read Chinmayananda books also. Chinmayananda had a course called I Love You. There is a course for the college students. There is a book, actually ultimately it teaches love of God, little bit in that. But it's a Bhagavad Gita based book. So I had read some of his books. So I thought I will meet the Swamiji personally and tell him that I have a little inclination for dedicating my life. So when I went, two brahmacharis stopped me, you cannot go in. He asked, what do you want? I said, I want to join as brahmachari. He said, brahmachari? They said, they gave red carpet welcome and took me in. They said, now you can directly meet Swamiji because you want to dedicate your life. So I went from this door and Swamiji left from that door. Just 5 minutes before he left. And then they came and said, we are sorry, he was sitting here. Now he has left with some 70 disciples to Himalayas for 3 months Shibir program, they said. So we are very sorry. But you keep coming here, after 3 months you can meet him. So now when I think about it, I feel I have been saved from the devouring mouth of liberation, which the Goswamis, we say, na? What is that, it says? What is that line? Kaivalya Nistarakau. Kaivalya Nistarakau, we say. If that Swamiji was there at that time, I won't be with all of you. I will be in Chinmayananda now. Chinmayananda Brahmachari. Can you imagine? Yeah. So I was feeling in 2-3 steps I was saved. First, my Christian brother and friend, Chandran, his name was Chandran, but he was actually a Christian. He was calling me to church. Many times he would tell me, you can join the church and we can be preachers, we can go for preaching together. So you can join. And he told me, you finish your engineering in Karunya, you'll be a qualified man and we both will work together. And I was seriously considering it in those days. And my understanding of religion and God was very limited at that time. So from them I was saved. From all the Mayavadi's books which I read, God, what all kinds of books, horrible books. So my locker was filled with so many different Mayavadi's books. So amongst them I chose one book called Raja Yoga, Kundalini Yoga. That was Vivekananda only. That was one book I was practicing for many years because trying to improve concentration. But all other books, you just can't, they're just bluffing a lot. And here when I came to Bombay, I was about to be stolen away by Mayavadis. Somewhere or other, I think Krishna inspired the Swamiji, please quickly quit the place. And he went and then I came in. I was saved. Then I thought 3 months Swamiji will take. In the meantime, I can go somewhere else. Then I was sitting in the mess. So one boy came and gave a flyer. Bhagavad Gita class in Hostel 9 Super Lounge. I was thrilled. I asked, who is coming? They said it is a program connected with Juhu Temple. In the Juhu Temple regularly they come here. So when I went, that is the time, first time I saw the red Maruti driven by some 3-4 American devotees came out of that. That is the first experience of seeing a ISKCON devotee. I was wondering, they were looking like Americans certainly, but they had shaven heads. That was a big bewilderment for me. How can Americans shave like Indian, sadhus with shikhas? And from behind came the great personality, His Holiness Bhakti Vishram Madhava Maharaj. In those days, he was a brahmachari. His name was Mahamantra Brahmachari. So I saw these people. That was the first time I was saved. I attended the lecture and that was a turning point for me. But why I was telling you in this connection, you will see that after getting slaps and kicks from so many bogus philosophies, And most of the philosophies get, you know, lead you to nowhere practically, because they are all impersonalistic philosophies. So when I came to ISKCON, two things were standing out for me in ISKCON which I loved the most. One was, I didn't like the idea of going to Himalayas and sitting alone and working for my own moksha, you know, to go out to the people, suffering people, and reach out the message to them. That was one thing I liked. And another thing was, I didn't like the shutting off the senses, like the eyes, nose, ears, everything, and then go to a seclusion. So in ISKCON we are taught how to use all our senses in Lord's service. So these two were very striking, and for a period of time the philosophy was blossoming. So we should always look back how horrible our life was before meeting the devotees, and after meeting the devotees how we had a turning point, after which, you know, now when we look back, you know, I feel how I was saved from, because in this one lifetime you miss, then many, many more lifetimes will come to pass, you know, without sangha of devotees. It's very, very rare. Therefore here Dhruva Maharaj is recollecting that I was in an angry mood at my stepmother, and I was completely broken hearted, you know. He felt like a snake is trampled upon by boots, correct, no? I was feeling like that, but my mother actually cooled me down and sent me to forest to see Vishnu. Therefore he is remembering the mother, because he has been brought from a very horrible state of anger to state of love, correct, no? So this whole purport is about gratitude to those from whom we have received spiritual knowledge and direction. So Dhruva Maharaj's mother gave a overall plan that you have to see Vishnu, and she guided him to forest. And Narada gave the details of surrender, how to surrender to Vishnu. She told him surrender to Vishnu, and Narada told him how to surrender. Isn't it? Both mother and Narada jointly did a great thing. And the next purport is a famous one, the 33rd one, Guru's attitude towards his disciples. I have written in the theme. So this is a very famous one. Read the purport.
This incident proves that the Shiksha or Diksha Guru, who has a disciple who strongly executes devotional service like Dhruva Maharaj, can be carried by the disciple even though the instructor is not as advanced.
This is an amazing thing. Generally, we generally think a senior devotee carries the junior devotee, because junior devotee is dependent and senior devotee is advanced. So he will guide the junior devotee. This is our common notion. But here Prabhupada says the opposite. Sometimes one might, like he says, even his Guru Maharaj told that I hope I will get one disciple who will become a pure devotee and who will take me back. And Prabhupada repeats the same point here in this purport also, which means the Krishna conscious process works in very miraculous, inconceivable and amazing ways. That if somebody was instrumental in bringing a great soul into the movement, in Krishna's movement, then that great soul can take his superior also, like the Prabhupada says. Yes?
Although Suniti was an instructor to Dhruva Maharaj, she could not go to the forest because she was a woman. Nor could she execute austerities and penances as Dhruva Maharaj did. Still, Dhruva Maharaj was able to take his mother with him. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj also delivered his atheistic father Hiranyakashipu. The conclusion is that a disciple or an offspring who is a very strong devotee can carry with him to Vaikuntha Loka either his father, mother or Shiksha or Diksha Guru. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, if I could perfectly deliver even one soul back home, back to Godhead, I would think my mission propagating Krishna consciousness to be successful. The Krishna consciousness movement is spreading now all over the world, and sometimes I think that even though I am crippled in many ways, if one of my disciples becomes as strong as Dhruva Maharaj, then he will be able to carry me with him to Vaikuntha Lok.
Haribo. Shri Prabhupada ki. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur exhibited his humility, and Prabhupada also presented the same with his humility also. So sometimes you wonder whether such a thing could be ever true. Bombay devotees were telling, they were distributing Bhagavad Gita on one table, book table, you know. So one drunkard came. So they thought that, you know, drunkard, how will he buy a book? He will waste our time. But most amazingly, Although he was in a semi-drunken stage, still he saw the different books and he asked how much is Bhagavad Gita, and he paid 100 rupees and took one Bhagavad Gita also. Then he again came back and paid 300 more and bought 3 more. And he told them that put in a cover and gave. Now I want to give somebody. So even in a drunken state, probably some sukriti he had in the past which inspired him. Now after buying 4 copies, this drunkard was, you know, preaching to other people. Hey, avo Bhagavad Gita lo. Because they were saying Bhagavad Gita, yeah, yeah, Bhagavad Gita, they were saying. So he also said, yeah, yeah, Bhagavad Gita, you also take, you are selling. After hearing the drunkard preaching like this, then some devotee came and took also. So one of the devotees, one of the people who took the Bhagavad Gita, and then later on he came across the same drunkard again some other time in future after he became a devotee. So then he made up his mind that I will not allow this drunkard to be drunkard anymore. I will preach to him, bring him out of his bad habit, and he preached to him, and now that drunkard is, you know, a properly situated devotee. So the drunkard inspired that fellow to take Gita, and that Gita buying devotee delivered the drunkard now. Correct, no? So sometime you all will find somebody brought you to Krishna consciousness and now they have left now. You will find like that. It happens sometimes. So from our side, we should always think, you know, they have done so much good for me. How will I, you know, this is also another meaning. Then one should think that whoever has been instrumental in bringing me into this movement, now I am in a blessed position. I should try to help them. That is another meaning of this also. So we have finished up to 23. So 23 we have finished.
33.
No, verse is 33, but the theme is 23. So how many more themes are there? Read the themes. See, now these themes you all have to do it yourself. Ideal mother's duty in child raising. Only those who can preach can reach Vaikuntha. Prabhupada says that in one of the, you can read that. And then qualifications to go back to Godhead. And then conquering the unconquerable Lord. Big technologist is no more than a big shudra, Prabhupada says. Then who is prohibited to recite Bhagavatam? You can see that. So totally 31 are there. We have finished how many?
23
we have finished. Yeah. But we have given, see, this chapter has 51 verses. That is why it took us 2 sittings. Srila Prabhupada ki, Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Yavar Bhaktavinda ki.